greetings, friends in Radioland. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is Wisdom's Talk with Reverend Marjorie Nunes. You are listening to Reverend Nunes on the internet at 1350wnlk.com or on radio at WNLK 1350 AM and WSTC 1400 AM, or call to listen at 563-999-3149 on Wednesdays and Fridays from 5 to 6 p.m. I am the pastor of Hicksville United Methodist Church, Hicksville, New York. Our website can be found at hicksvilleumc.com and on Facebook at www.facebook.com/HicksvilleUMC. Wisdom's Talk, where we search the Word of God to find new meaning for our daily lives. The question for us today is, does what we believe make a difference in our daily lives? Join me and let's find out together. Stay tuned now, friends. I'll be right back on Wisdom's Talk. Welcome back, friends. It's good to be back with you today on the air. We just give God thanks and praise for all God has done for us. And I pray that you're doing well, friends. I pray that by God's grace, you're doing well. Again, you're listening to Pastor Nunes on Wisdom's Talk. And so as we come now to teach for the teaching moment, let us first go to the Lord in prayer, as we want to seek God's mercy and God's grace. And most of all, we want to give God thanks. Give God thanks with a grateful heart. We want to do that because we certainly do love God and all God has done for us. Let us pray now as we go before the throne of grace and mercy. Let us now pray as we go before the throne of grace and mercy. O loving and gracious God, we give you thanks. We thank you with a grateful heart. We thank you for your loving kindness and for your tender mercies. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Holy God, we lift your name on high and we long to sing your praises. We are so glad that you're in our lives. And we are so glad that you have come to save us. Oh, we thank you that you send Jesus Christ, God Emmanuel, God with us, that he would be born into this world to save us. We thank you. We thank you for the coming of the Christ child. Holy God, we rejoice today in knowing that our Savior, our Redeemer lives. We thank you. And we praise your name. And so, Lord God, as we come now, we lift up before you our friends and relatives and those in Radioland, those who are listening to us, those who are throughout the nation who are listening, Lord God, either on the internet or on the radio by phone or wherever. We lift them up before you, Lord God, now. You know, those who are in need of prayer. Certainly, we are all in need of prayer. And so, God, we lift up before you those who are sick and shut in hospitals and nursing homes, Lord God, or even at home or in hospices, wherever they are, Lord. We know that you are the great physician, Lord Jesus. And so we pray that you will touch and heal. And now during this time of Christmas, as we begin to celebrate, we know that there are many who get so depressed because they've lost loved ones. And this could be a time of such happiness and yet a time where folks are so low. God, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to touch them. Comfort those who are grieving. Comfort those, God, who are depressed, Lord God. Give them clarity of mind. Holy God, we just come before you and we bring them before you, Lord. We bring all of them before you, all of those who are suffering, Lord God. And then remember those who are looking for jobs, Lord God, those who are seeking employment. God, have mercy. You are our provider, Lord God. And so, Holy God, we pray that you who are the one who loved us so much and continues to love us and would send Jesus Christ for us, Lord God, that you will touch. You will protect our nation, Lord God. Protect us, God, in the name of Jesus. We know what has happened this week, God, that someone else tried, a terrorist tried to, again, send off a bomb in the subways in New York City. God, have mercy, Lord God. Forgive us if we have sinned against you. And we pray that you will not turn your back on us, Lord God. God, do not turn your back, because we need you. We need your protection. We need your guidance, Lord. We need your love, Lord God. Oh, how we need it, Lord God. And we thank you that you give us all those things. We thank you that you will not leave us alone. We thank you, even though sometimes we have forgotten you. You says if we repent of our sins and seek your face, then you'll hear from heaven. So hear from your holy place this day. Hear from heaven, Lord God. Have mercy upon us. And for those of us who are praying people, we stand in the gap for those who will not pray. And we pray for them, Lord God, as we pray for ourselves, and we pray for our nation, Lord God, and we pray for the world. Have mercy now. In Christ's name we pray and believe. Amen. And now, friends, you're listening to Wisdom's Talk, and I'm going to begin my teaching today. I'm again with you. I'm glad to be here with you and be able to bring the teaching. And today, you know, we're going through the season of Christmas, and it's all about love, huh? There's a song that I love that says, love came down at Christmas. Love divine, right? Came down at Christmas. And love did come down at Christmas for you and for me. And so my teaching today, the first part will be, which is the great commandment in the law? The question was asked of Jesus, which is the great commandment in the law? And he's going to tell them. So let me get to the scriptures first. And I'm going to be reading from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 22. If you have your Bibles, I'm reading from the NRSV. And I'm reading from the Gospel of Matthew 22. And I'll be reading from verses 34 to 40 about the greatest commandment. You could find the scripture in both Mark and Luke, and also in Matthew. And so this is now Matthew 22, verse 34. Hear the word of the Lord. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Right? We get it, right? It says, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so, you know, here we are during the season of Christmas, and we're going to be talking about love. Love. The love came down at Christmas, and now the Lord is going to answer this question about love. Which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus was asked. And he's going to tell us, and he's going to remind us, it's in the scriptures, Matthew 22. And so here it is. As I give you my thoughts and reflections on this, what is your primary purpose? Have you ever asked that question? What is my primary purpose? Everything has a primary purpose. And when it ceases to fulfill its purpose, it is useless. Everything has a primary purpose, and when it ceases to fulfill it, it is useless. The primary purpose of a pen, for instance, is to write. I would rather have an inexpensive plastic pen that wrote every time I picked it up than an expensive German pen that didn't. That means we all have to fulfill our purpose, friends, right? You know, we want to make sure we fulfill our purpose. So I'm giving you an example, right? The primary purpose of a car is to take me from point A to point B. I would rather have a less expensive but reliable car that started every time and always ran well than a shiny new one that only ran half the time. When Jesus was asked, which is the greatest commandment in the law? He went straight to the heart of your primary purpose and mine. Without hesitating, he replied, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That we just read in Matthew 22, and those were verses 37 to 39. Including the Ten Commandments, the Jewish Torah, comprised of the first five books of the Bible, contains 613 commandments. When the Jewish lawyer posed the question, Jesus used the phrase, first and great, to clarify that he was also taking in consideration the Ten Commandments. Jesus went on to say, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Verse 40. Loving God is the vertical dimension of life. Loving God is the vertical dimension of life. And loving another, I would say, is the horizontal dimension, right? Forms the cross, doesn't it? Loving God is the vertical dimension, and then loving another is the horizontal dimension. And these represent all the Ten Commandments address. The first four commandments, having no other gods before him, not making an image or likeness, not taking his name in vain, and remembering to keep the Sabbath to keep it holy, have to do with our relationship with God, the upward or vertical expression, right? So the first four commandments have to do with our vertical relationship, the upward relationship with God. The last six, honoring your parents, not murdering, not committing adultery, not stealing, not lying, and not coveting, speak about our relationship with other people. So you see, the first four speak about our relationship with God, the vertical relationship, and the other six speak about the horizontal relationship we have with other people, and with other people, the outward or horizontal expression. So, although the Pharisees were testing Jesus when they asked this question, verse 35, he simply told them that all the commandments boil down to this, love. All the commandments boil down to this. It boils down to love. According to Jesus, we who are his followers are to love God supremely and to love people around us. Recognizing the role of love in God's kingdom, the Apostle Paul later wrote, the greatest of these, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest is love. 1 Corinthians 13:13. And so even Apostle Paul would recognize that it's love. So now let's talk a little bit about the vertical dimension. When asked to identify the great commandment of the hundreds of commandments in the Bible, Jesus emphasized that the first and great commandment is to love God with all that we are. To make love for God supreme over love for our fellow mankind, fellow person, is in diametric opposition to the world's ways. Humanistic thought tells us that the way to love God is to love humankind. It says, if you love humankind and are immersed in all sorts of humanistic social experience, you will be on your way to loving God. But Jesus said the opposite. He knew that we can never love one another as we should unless we love God first and foremost. When we love God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind, there is no possibility of not loving our neighbors as ourselves. Let me read it again. Let me say that again, right? Jesus knew that we can never love one another as we should unless we love God first and foremost. When we love God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind, there is no possibility of not loving our neighbors as ourselves. So we have to understand that love, loving someone, makes us want to be around them. We put them first. We want to be with them. When I was younger and in love, I wanted to always speak to that young man in my life, always wrote him letters when we were apart, always want to be around him because I loved him. If you love the Lord Jesus, you will want to be with him. You will want to be with him alone. You will not just read his love letter to you, but you will hang on every word in the Bible, and you will speak with him daily in prayer. What is the greatest of all commandments? It is the command to love God with every fiber of your being. After all, God is love. 1 John 4:8 reminds us of that. God is love. Now the horizontal dimension. The vertical dimension of life that honors God is our developing and maintaining an intimate, constant relationship with God. The horizontal dimension has to do with our activity toward those around us. It is of note that in Luke's account, this question comes in the context of the story of the Good Samaritan, where our love is revealed in what we do for others. We see that in Luke 10:25-37. Genuine love is always expressed by action. In fact, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." John 14:15. And one of those commandments is to love one another. Friends, we're talking about love today. Unfortunately, many of us have real difficulty obeying this second commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Some of us are void of self-love and self-respect. When that's the case, loving others as we love ourselves would not be healthy, life-giving, or appreciated by those we loved. Jesus knew full well that we would face this dilemma. So for 33 years, he showed us that what genuine love looks like. He was the very embodiment of love. Up until then, the best we could do was to live on the level of this old commandment of loving others as we loved ourselves. He showed us by his life that true love is unlimited, unchanging, unselfish, and unconditional. The very natural self-love we know all too well is the very antithesis of all those things. Therefore, on the night before he was crucified, Jesus gave us a new commandment. As he was about to leave us, he said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." John 13:34-35. This call to love is not merely a suggestion, nor is it an option for us to consider. Jesus commanded his followers then and us today to love one another as he loved us. To be more specific, we are to live and love one another with an unlimited, unchanging, unselfish, and unconditional love, just as he loved us then and continues to love us still. How can we possibly love like this? We can't. It is impossible in our own strength. Only if we love God above and beyond all else, only if we love God with all our soul and mind, will his love abiding in us overflow through us to the people around us. Only then will we be able to love one another as he loved us. So unless we love God, friends, with all of our heart and soul and mind, we cannot love one another. Here is the question again. Which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus didn't hesitate to respond. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Matthew 22:37. Love is the oxygen of God's kingdom. Love is to be the distinguishing characteristic that shows we belong to him. You have a single primary purpose in life, and it is to paraphrase the words of the first and great commandment, to love the Lord your God with every part of your being. So it's about love, friends. We know that scripture that said that God so loved the world that God would give his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friends, it's always been about love, hasn't it? Always been about love for you and for me. It's because of his great love. And so, friends, we're going to play a little song about love now as we listen again and be reminded of God's great love for us.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply sank within, seeking to rise no more. But the Master of the sea my
Oh yes, when nothing else could help, love lifted me. When nothing else could help. Oh yes, just a little bit more of that. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Love lifted me when nothing else could help. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Do you know that love can lift us? And love has already lifted us. You're listening to Pastor Nunes on Wisdom's Talk. And love has lifted us and continue to lift us. Thanks be to God for the love of God in through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. What a blessing. It'll be talking about love because love came down at Christmas. Love divine came down at Christmas for you and me. Love lifted us. And so we give God thanks and praise for his great love for us. When nothing else could help, love lifted us. And now I'm going to continue with the next part of our of the teaching here, as we continue to look at love, because this is the time of year we want to remember that Christ came into the world because of love, because he loved us so much, that Lord God loved us so much that he would send Jesus Christ, and Jesus would go to the cross because Jesus loved us so much. Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, we thank him this day. And now I'm going to look, you know, I just in the first half talk about, you know, love, and you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. You know, that is the first commandment. And the second is just like it. It's the second commandment says you should love your neighbor as yourself. And so the question now, the second question that is going to be asked as we look at this story is, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor, right? Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Who is my neighbor? And I'll be reading now from Luke 10, the Gospel of Luke 10. And I believe I'm starting at chapter on the story of the Good Samaritan. You're listening to Wisdom's Talk with Pastor Nunes. I praise God. It is time to just learn about love. We're living in a time in our country where love is so covered up. Folks, love has become on the back burner. So much evil talk and people just talking badly about each other. And we're treating foreigners, and so we're treating folks as if God doesn't love them. Who is our neighbor? Who is our neighbor is the question today, because love is for all of us. And now I'm going to read again from the NRSV, but I'm reading from Luke chapter 10, verses 25. And to, I believe it's 25 to about 37. And it's the story of the Good Samaritan. So if you have your Bibles, you may follow along with me. And here's the word of the Lord. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? He answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with your soul and with your mind and with your strength and with your mind and your neighbor as yourself. This is now the Luke version. As he said to him, you have given the right answer. Do this and you will live. So Jesus said that to him. Now we're going to go to verse 29. But wanting to justify himself, he asks Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him. And when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Friend, go and do likewise. During this time of Christmas, Advent, the expectation of Christ's, you know, birth again, and Christmas, we've got to remember these words. It is not just about the pretty things on the trees and the little shiny things. It's about love. Who is our neighbor? And so here are my thoughts and reflection on the question, who is my neighbor? With the fast pace of life today, many of us would be hard-pressed to even know the names of those who live next door. Gone are the days when we shouted across the white picket fence to borrow a cup of sugar. Or if we don't even have any fence. Some of us didn't have a white picket fence when we don't even know our neighbors anyhow. It is not just difficult. It is virtually impossible to love our neighbors as Christ commanded when we don't even know their names. Shame on us, isn't it? Shame on God's people. We all have our comfort zones. All of us have an easier time reaching out to certain people than to others. We are all more comfortable in certain social, political, religious, even economic circles than in others. So it is all too easy to get stuck in our comfort zone and never venture out to get to know our neighbors. Clearly, we can learn much from the man we have come to know as the Good Samaritan. When a lawyer approached Jesus and asked, "Who is my neighbor?" Luke 29, we just read. Jesus answered with a story about the Good Samaritan. The man was going from Jerusalem to Jericho when he came upon a fellow traveler who had been beaten, robbed, and left by the side of the road. Some religious types had passed him by, choosing the other side of the road and rationalizing their decision not to help. But this Samaritan, a member of a race despised by the Jews, stopped, felt compassion, bandaged up the wounded man, and took him to a nearby inn to recuperate. Interestingly, despite this noble and good deed, Jesus never called the Samaritan good. Jesus simply said, "A certain man." Verse 30. Yet when we see someone who loves in this simple yet profound way, when we see him doing what we ought to do, we put a label on him to call him good. So as to the lawyer's question, "Who is my neighbor?" When Jesus answered with this often repeated story, he challenged us to leave our comfort zone and to get involved in the lives of those around us who need help, who need our help. Here are 4 steps he calls upon us to take for getting involved. So I'm going to give you 4 steps that we could look at about, you know, how we could get involved. Step 1, see the need. That's step 1, see the need. This story shows that the process of loving or not loving a person in need begins with the pass, begins when the passerby sees him. Luke 10:31-33. The priest and the Levi had noticed the same mangled man and chose to pass by on the other side of the road. Clearly, the priest and the Levi didn't really see him with their hearts. The Samaritan, however, did see the wounded man, and his seeing prompted action. Too often we, like the priest and the Levite, look at but don't actually see the people around us. Or if we happen to notice needs, we don't see clearly enough with our hearts to want to reach out. Jesus' story shows, however, that the initial step of loving our neighbors requires our vigilance. We need to commit to consciously see those around us who are in need. How often do we drive by dozens of people in need as we go to church to discuss and pray for people, especially for people on the other side of the world who are hungry, lonely, sick, and living in darkness? We would do well to ask God to help us to see needy people who are around us, as the Samaritan did, with our hearts as well as our eyes. And there are many of us, many folks, even in the churches, who, you know, we'll send mission things overseas, as we should to people in need, and yet we don't even see our neighbors right around us suffering, the people who live right in our community. You know, the folks who are depressed, the folks who are in need, the laborers, those who we call undocumented, those we just don't see. Frankly, we don't even call them undocumented. We call some of them illegal, and nobody is illegal. Illegal aliens. What a word to be used to another human being. God has never made an illegal alien. Yet we do. And so we need to be mindful of that. Step 2. We should feel the need. First, we want to see the need, and then we have to feel the need. Upon seeing the beaten man, the Bible says the Samaritan had compassion. Luke 10:33. His heart went out to the person in pain and in need. And despite the fact that, and Jesus made this very clear, the beaten man was a Jew, and the one who rendered aid was a Samaritan. It didn't matter. If that doesn't mean much, think of it this way. In modern times, think of this as we live in this world. We see folks that we think should never help you. The other day, I will just give you a for example. I was coming on the train, just yesterday, coming from Manhattan on the train, and he was an older white man and a younger white woman. I thought she was his granddaughter. And they were standing there at 34th Street. They'd come off the number 2 or whatever train they were standing there, the same train I came off. And I was going to take the Penn Station, walking downstairs to go to Penn Station. But I looked at them, and they were standing there with their luggage on the platform. They looked a little bit perplexed. And like they didn't, a little bit disoriented, kind of figuring out. So I was going to keep walking. And then the Holy Spirit says, no. And I went back and I says, can I help you? I says, frankly, I says, may I help you? And then the guy hesitated a little bit. Then he says, oh, you know, we want to go to Newark, New Jersey. I guess they wanted to get to the airport. And I says, you do. And I started to think, I says, oh, you need Madison Square Garden. You know, you need that area where Madison Square Garden is, where the Penn Station, you know, Penn Station is underneath and at the top. So I says, why don't you come with me? I am going down the stairs and, you know, and you'll go with me. And then I'll show you when I go into Penn, how you could get You have to go back upstairs to get the New Jersey Transit that will take you to Newark. And I saw the gentleman looking at me, and I thought to myself, being a person of color, and they're white, that maybe they, you know, don't want to, you know, have me do this because, you know, they don't know who to trust, and people are so worried and scared. And this was the day when the person had tried to bomb the station. So, you know, the subway. And so, it's this week one day. And so it was on Monday. And so I says, come with me. So we went down the stairs and we went to this turnstile, and the Penn Station board was up, and I was checking my train, and I saw a train person, and I wanted to give them some comfort. And so I asked the train person, I knew exactly where to send them. And I said, they need to get to New Jersey Transit to go to Newark for the train. That's the direction, isn't it? And he said, yes. And I said, go ahead and go straight. And the young girl said to me, she says, oh, this is the way we came. But I got so confused, I couldn't remember. They were from out of town. But I wanted to give them a little comfort, to let them know, no, I'm not trying to get them through the tunnel or something. Because you know why? They weren't bad people. I'm not a bad person. But they were concerned. You could see the little apprehension, because we were just different people from different social location, and we don't know who to trust. But I wanted to help them, you know, and let them go. And they turned to me and they say, thank you. And I says, God bless you. The older man says, God bless you. And I said, Merry Christmas. And they went, and I watched them walk to where the New Jersey Transit is. I didn't miss the first train, but it was another one right behind it. And so here it is. This is the idea of, you look at a person and you assume that they may not want to help you. And so this is how it would be in that time, a person of color trying to help someone who's Caucasian, who may not have the same political views or the same economic views on the economy, or the same liberal, or we may be conservative, and all the things that we put in together when someone just wants help. And so the religious, political, and racial animosity between the Jews and the Samaritans was indescribable. And I just gave you a modern day context now into the culture we are living in, how we could get so contained in our own little box, and we don't want to reach out to help each other. The Samaritan not only saw the need, he felt it. He had compassion on the beaten man. And such compassion fuels our involvement in others' lives, other people's lives. Too many of us today are, like the priest and the Levite, too preoccupied, too self-centered, or too comfortable in our ways to stop and meet another's needs. We choose to walk by on the other side, perhaps pretending to be oblivious to the hurts and the needs of our neighbors, and clearly choosing not to help. The choice to be involved in other people's lives, the choice to help meet their needs, is rooted in one's heart. And now, when I just gave you that little illustration about me, now it's not to assume or to pretend that I am any self-righteous person, because we all don't always do what we ought to do. That day, I happened to have done what Christ wanted me to do, and step out and ask someone. I don't always do it. We're just human like everyone else. But the aim is to strive to be like Christ, to strive to be like the Good Samaritan. So step three now is to touch the need. So the first point was to see the need. The second point was to feel the need. The third point is to touch the need. Having noticed the hurt man, the Bible says the Samaritan went to him and bandaged his wounds. Luke 10:34. It is not enough to see a need and feel a need. In this story, Jesus called us to reach out to touch and help the person in need. And in the situation Jesus described, the despised Samaritan took a big risk when he stopped to help the Jew. I wonder how many needs around us go unmet because we are not willing to take a risk as we travel our own Jericho road. This Samaritan, however, did not let the risk or the cost involved deter him. He chose to take the risk and to touch the need. Oh, glory to God. When God's people take risks and touch needs, his kingdom always advances. Abraham, for instance, risked leaving all he knew to go to the land he had never known. Moses took a risk and returned to Egypt, where he was wanted for murder, to lead God's people out of bondage. The young Virgin Mary heard an angel's message and risked believing it. Similarly, her fiancé, Joseph, risked believing that the child in her womb was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Talk about a risk. And because of that risk, we have our Savior, Jesus Christ. And the Samaritan risked answering the question, "Who is my neighbor?" When he saw the Jewish man's need, he felt the need. Then he left his comfort zone and touched the need. Even Virgin Mary risked. We have to take risks when we want to help someone. So we must see the need, feel the need, and then touch the need. And my fourth and final point is meet the need. This Samaritan could have passed by the bleeding man and, like the priest and the Levite, walked on the other side of the road, but the Samaritan didn't. Or the Samaritan could have bandaged the wounds and then left the man at the side of the road, but he didn't. The Samaritan carried the man to an inn, left him in the care of the innkeeper, paid his bill in advance, and promised to return in a few days to pay for the extra expenses. The Samaritan not only met the need for that day, but for the days to come, and promised to follow up. Consider for a moment that each of us has been the wounded man lying at the side of the road. Jesus saw us beaten, battered by sin, and lying on the side of the road. Oh, glory to God. Overwhelmed by compassion and love for us, he left heaven, his comfort zone, came into our world, and then touched us. Jesus took our old heart out and put in a brand new one. Then, like the Samaritan, he took us to the inn, to a place of fellowship with his people. Oh, we thank you, God, and promised he would come back to settle all accounts. Oh, and he will. Oh, glory to God. At the end of the story, Jesus asked which person was a neighbor to the wounded man. His hearers replied, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to them and to us, "Go and do likewise." Luke 10:37. So here's the question again, friends. Who is my neighbor? My neighbor is anyone and everyone to whom I can be Christ's hand extended. And that definition includes people outside my comfort zone. I am to see the need and not be blind to it. I am to let go of my heart so that I can feel the need. I am to touch the need even if that means getting dirty. And I am to meet the need following up after an initial response whenever necessary. In the words of Jesus, "Go and do likewise." Shall I say this again? I am to see the need and not be blind to it. I am to let go of my heart so I can feel the need. I am to touch the need, even if it means getting dirty. And I am to meet the need, following up after the initial response whenever necessary. In the words of Jesus, "Go and do likewise." Oh, glory to God, friends, because we know that love lifted us, you see. Love lifted us. We have to see the need. We have got to see it and feel it. And feel the need, we must do that. We must see the need, friends. First see the need, and then we must feel the need. We have got to touch the need. We have got to meet the need. We are called to do that. Are you seeing the need of your folks around you these days? Are you seeing it coming out of your comfort zone? The Lord wants us to come out of our comfort zone, friends, and do likewise. Wants us to come out of our comfort zone and do what the Good Samaritan has done. And we can. And we've got to remember what? That love lifted us. It is because of love. I'm going to play that song again for us. Oh, as we are coming to the end of the program, coming soon. Oh, you'll be listening to Pastor Nunes on Wisdom's Talk. Just listen. Oh, you're listening to Pastor Nunes on Wisdom's Talk. Until next time, I pray the love of God will lift you. Until next time, Wisdom's Talk. Lifted me. Blessings where nothing else could help. Oh, Wisdom's Talk, friends. Wisdom's Talk, Pastor Nunes. Love. I hope you're feeling the love of Jesus Christ in your heart today.